Well, it's good to be here tonight. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord for you being here. We pray that God will bless you in a very special way for coming. And he will. And we always bless the Lord for all he's done for us. And I praise God. Now, listen, it don't shock me today. It doesn't shock me to hear anything's happening today. It doesn't shock me one iota to hear somebody's bailing out, somebody's turncoating. It don't shock me. It's happening everywhere. And I'm just telling you, it's happening because we're in a war. And a war is what we have forgotten that we're in. I read a writer here a while back, and he made this statement, something to this effect. He said, we've got so used to just the regular that if God was to do anything, it would scare the church slap to death. And I honestly believe that. I still believe in the Holy Ghost. And I believe that the Holy Ghost controls things. He is the administrator of the church. When the Lord Jesus ascended from on high, the Comforter came. And he came to rule and to reign in his church. He's over it. But we've taken the reins away from him in a lot of areas in our churches. And we've gotten ourselves in a mess trying to drive this thing. But God wants the church to have revival. And tonight I prayed about this meeting, about coming down here for a couple days and what the Lord would have me to bring to you. And the Lord's kind of spoken to my heart about a few things. But I want you to take your Bible and turn to the book of Nehemiah tonight, if you would, please. In the book of Nehemiah. And I want you to turn to the first chapter. There's a lot of things that's going on tonight, and we really pray that the Lord will help us, especially as we try to preach and help this good church and the good man of God. We thank you, preacher, for asking me to come. And it's good to hear the good family sing. And I appreciate that. And all the folks that are here that some of us we know, most of us we don't, but we met you here at the Vacation Bible School thing. And that was great. Our church is even thinking something along that lines. We might even get your wife up there to help us out with that thing a little bit and let you preach for us. But that was a good turnout. It was a blessing. I praise God for it, and I just thank the Lord. But tonight we're here together, and what we want to do is we want to be obedient to the Lord. We want to pray. We want to preach, and we want God to do something for us tonight. Our country is in a mess. But I want to say something to you. Our country's in a mess, but our churches are in a far bigger mess than our country is. And I want to say to you, liberalism is not any different in the country or in the church. Liberalism is the same character. It springs from atheistic theology and doctrine. Are you listening to me? It all comes from no God. When you start bottoming it out, our country's in a mess because they've turned from God. Our churches are in a mess because they've turned from God. And I'll tell you, playing ain't going to bring this thing back around. You see what's happening in our country right now, and I'm not political, and I'm not getting political, and it doesn't matter to me what you are, personally, as far as political stuff. But I just want you to understand something. We've turned our country over to this liberalism, this communist, socialist, attituded people. And I'll tell you right now, you can see how it's going. It's been going this away, but they finally got their hands on it. They hadn't had their hands on it for a long time. We've had folks on both sides that had a little bit of sense about them, and they fought hard to keep it in the line. The devil's always hated America. Always. And let me tell you something. I've been preaching for 50 years. I started out preaching with knowing communism is the worst thing in this whole world. It's anti-God. And their message is no God and dictatorship and man worship. There's so much in it. Y'all know that. Well, we've watched it. We fought it. Our country's young. Our country's had to stand for God and fought. And I really believe this, and I hope you believe this too. America tonight is a God-given country to the world. This country has sent missionaries all over the world. This country has fed billions of people all over this world. This country has sent billions of dollars all over this world. They can say what they want to say about America, and they only say what they say because they hate it. They hate it with all their heart. But God blessed America. And boy, the devil's tried his best to destroy it. And we have fought. Our leaders have fought. Unbeknown to us, unbeknown to our generation, unbeknown a lot of times even in the church, the battle that's going on, unbeknown to the man of God, unbeknown as people realize that the man of God, your man of God, other men of God don't even realize the battle that they and good deacons that's not against them and not have an attitude, but I'm talking about the men of God and then good men in the church and good praying women. Hey, nobody knows the battle, the real battle that they have fought to keep churches in order and keep churches in this Word of God and the book of the Lord, the King James Bible. You said it, and I'll say it, and that's what I believe. Our country right now is in such a situation that's a great picture for us to look at and compare to how the Bible is. Because in how our churches are. Now the point is this. If you turn our country over to a liberal, they call it progressive, I call it communistic, communism. If you turn our country over to this liberal communist crowd, you're going to have exactly what you got right now. Turmoil, trouble, and situations that these people know nothing about how to handle. They know nothing about how to handle this. They've led and they will lead and they will allow the enemy to attack our country because they see weakness in our country. Are y'all with me? You say, oh, preacher, I like this because I agree with you. I'm for America. I hope you are now. But I want you to understand something. The church is the same identical way. We have fought. I don't know about y'all, but I fought. I've been preaching this way for 50 years. I've been preaching the same way I preach right now ever since I've been called. Are you listening to me? I came out of the fire. Hallelujah. I didn't come out of a smokehouse. I came out of a firehouse. I came preaching with a burning in my bones. And listen, for God to save sinners and for God to help the church. Hallelujah. And then in the 50-year period of time, my zeal that I used to have without a lot of knowledge, God has matured my zeal, matured it, not taken it away, just matured it. And I've still got the same zeal, hallelujah. But there is some maturity with it now. But the message is the same. The burden is the same. The war has not changed. So here tonight. Here we sit, looking around. Testimony of a young man throwing the towel in. He's not the only one. Our churches are turncoating daily. Daily. Now I want to say this to you, because I'm coming to this. The reason that we're in such a mess right now is because we've let and we've allowed, we've got tired, and we've dropped the standards and the walls down to the fact of where the liberals have taken over. And now they've come into our church, and now they're deacons, Sunday school teachers, special singers, choir members, and some preachers. And our churches right now are being turned over. You just look around. Churches are turning them over. I had a lady tell me just this past Saturday, as I visited her mother in the nursing home, she said, "Preacher, pray for our church." She said, we're in a real situation. We can't get a pastor. So we had a man that we thought was a good man, and the church really loved him, and he was preaching. And somebody, the carrying vote, I hate votes. The carrying vote to call him come from a family that did not like somebody getting out from behind the pulpit, did not like for them to raise their voice. didn't like for them to leave the, get, you know what I'm saying, move around. And they didn't call him. You say, well, preacher, that, you know, there's a, hey, listen, I'm just telling you, that's what's controlling our churches today. And these people have moved in. We've got tired of fighting them. And we've said, just let them have their way. We've let them say, we've said that too long. Hey, they're good people. They might tithe good money. They might sit in these pews. But don't ever sacrifice the principles of this blessed old book for somebody sitting here. Amen. I mean, we need to get, you're talking, oh, see, here's the thing now. People say, we want a revival. We want God to do something. Well, I'm going to tell you in just a second. We're going to read here in the first chapter of the book of Nehemiah. And I want you to understand by seeing what's going on right now. Our churches have been turned over to liberalism. And these people have moved in. They're good. They got this good facade about them. But they've got an agenda. I've got an agenda. You know what my agenda is, ma'am? My agenda is to be obedient to that book and to God. And to finish right in my walk with God. My agenda is to try to get the gospel to the whole world. That's the Great Commission. Then my agenda is to try to help people that I minister to and get saved and disciple them to win other people. And my agenda as a minister, a pastor, an under-shepherd of the great shepherd of heaven is to protect his flock. And all the way through the Bible, here's what you're going to find. You're going to find the house of God's always attacked. In the book of Nehemiah, it was attacked. What do you think Ezra's been doing for 17 years before Nehemiah comes on the scene? He's been getting the temple built again. He's getting the people back to worship again. Hey, no walls. It don't matter about walls right now. It doesn't matter about this over here or over there. We need to get back to worshiping God. That'll help us out a whole lot. If we just get back to that. Now, here's the thing. Our country's in a mess. I am concerned about our country. Our churches are in a mess, and that's what I'm concerned about. And so our country's in the mess it is because our churches has gotten a mess. We quit preaching against sodomy, and the sodomite came out of the closet. And when the sodomite came out of the closet, they headed in their direction. They've got an agenda. They got a plan. They're much more persistent than we are. They got out of the closet because we kept, hey, it used to be if they even cracked the door, some man of God would say, hey, get back in there. Yeah. Right. Amen. Yeah. Now let me stop right here and say something to you because I want you to get my picture and my heart here. Every seems like every family somewhere in the line of it, it could start with a husband being sodomite after you find out, even after you're married, or a woman. I've heard of this. It has drifted down all the way down to the fourth and fifth, sixth cousin. But everybody in this building's touched by somebody in sodomy. Somewhere. You might have not have had them in your lineage, but your folks married somebody that had it in their lineage, that brought it into your lineage. Now, I want you to stay with me for just a minute. Now, listen to me. It's now that we're in the churches. You can't preach against sodomy. Because somebody's got a dear old cousin way over yonder that's a sodomite. And you just don't want you to... Listen, it's not that we don't love them. Hey, we love their soul. God died for them. But I promise you, he ain't going to condone their wicked sin. Amen. And this, and I'm just giving you, let's just stay with me for this is revival. Amen. This is what we're here for. So you got to get a picture of what's happening. You say, well, I got a picture. I watched the news. You ain't got the right one. Amen. I want to give you the right biblical picture. We're in a mess tonight. Amen. And we need help. I told our church Sunday, this is what I told our church Sunday. Everybody says, boy, he's soon coming. All everybody's getting, oh, no, he's coming. Don't get me wrong. But I believe the church is going to be purged a little bit. I believe we're going to have a little bit of purging in our churches. But I'm not a mid-trib. I'm a pre-trib. I believe that preacher, you don't have to worry about that. But I believe God's going to work. I believe God's going to squeeze the church just a little bit. And I believe they're going to be. Did you know that God never delivered, brother, never delivered Israel whenever they got under bondage of some other country? He never delivered them until they cried. You know what's wrong with, you know why America's not crying? You know why our pews are empty? You don't see people coming to church in our country in a mess praying for our country. They're not, and don't blame it on COVID. Now, COVID's over. See, you've been listening to the wrong news. See, you've been listening to that crowd that tells you it's still on the rampage. COVID's about done, friend. They just drumming up this fake stuff. Well, I know you probably don't want to believe me, believe them. That's all right. But I'm just trying to tell you, it's about done. They just have to have that for control over these people, over people. Well, I don't want to get into all that. I'm just trying to get you a picture. Are you still with me? We quit preaching against all these sins, and now they've taken over our church. Now the Southern Baptists, of all people, of all folks, I got out of the Southern Baptists. They put me out 30-something years. Now it's been close to 40 years. They booted me out. Are you with me? Are you listening to me right now real good? And now they're holding conferences and giving sodomites places on stages to tell the churches how to work with these people. I don't have to know how to work with a sinner. I don't have to know how to work with a sin of sodomy. I just preach, hallelujah. And that handles it. Now our churches has got this all over them now. Are you with me? So we quit preaching, now we got it. And liberalism has taken over. Now I'm getting ready to get to the message. Now listen to me. Now listen well. I don't want to scare you, see. Somebody's already done shook up now already. I want you to understand something tonight. We got too much food in our cupboards. We got too nice a car sitting in our driveways. We got too nice a clothes on our body and shoes on our feet. We got too many cards in our billfold, and we got a little bit too much money in the bank account to be uncomfortable and start crying. We are still a spoiled, comfortable people. But when that bank account gets touched, and that culvert gets touched, and that car gets touched, and hey, listen, that money in that billfold gets touched, and it gets taken away, and there's nothing there, or over there, or over yonder, hey, you and I are going to see trouble, and then we might start turning to God. Oh, boy. Nehemiah chapter number 1. I want to give you this little thought tonight. Verse 2. Hananiah, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. This was their home. Jerusalem was their place of abiding, of worship. That was their place. And they had been a great captivity. They'd gotten a mess. And then some of the Jews, a remnant of them, they'd went back because the Babylonians lost to the Persians. You don't need all this stuff. I'm just trying to give you a little something there. And the Persians wanted the Jews to go back to their land. They let them go back. Say, go on back. But when they got there, a lot of stuff wasn't the same. It had been run over and run down and destroyed. So this remnant went back. Now, for years, they're there. They've been there for years. And in these years that they've been there, this is what Nehemiah asked this brother. How are the folks, the remnant that's in Jerusalem, how are they doing? The brethren. And here's what he said. He said, and they said unto me, verse 3, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass when I heard these words, listen at Nehemiah, I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Boy, That's a touching thing when somebody hears that trouble's on the horizon and it causes them to do all of this. Are y'all listening to me? And said, I beseech thee. This is Nehemiah praying. He said, I prayed before the God of heaven and said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes opened, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant. What an introduction to get a prayer to God. Oh God, he said, please hear thy servant. Hebrews says we've got access to the throne room of heaven. With boldness, we can go before God. Boy, Nehemiah's taking advantage of being able to pray here. I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants. Now watch what he's getting ready to do now. And confess their sins. We're not beyond that. We forgot about some of this stuff. We forgot that we need to be confessing the sins of people around us and our families and our churches. Listen to what he says. I confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we, listen to what he says now. He doesn't exclude himself. We have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments which thou commandest thy servant Moses. This is a verse where the work of the Holy Ghost has to come in, because no man can make anybody feel guilty over their sin, but the Holy Ghost is the only one that can do that. And oh, my prayer is not that we would just have preaching that does a temporary guilt complex, that when the lights are turned out and the morning sun rises, they're back in just like they was. And they meant a little bit of it, but it didn't stick to them. Boy, I'm looking for that move of the Holy Ghost where that conviction of God convicts sinners, Christian sinners, to the point to where they can't sleep that night. They can't get up and go to work and with a clear heart. They've got to deal with God. They've got to deal with their sin. Give us back that Holy Ghost movement in our churches. Oh, I'm not against the good singing. I love it. And I'm not even against the good preaching. I love to preach. And your preacher and all these other men that preach too. But we need that real move of God through the Holy Ghost of God that brings people to a point in their heart. Their heart. That's why I say, God, please meet with us. Somebody says, it's not good to talk about reminiscing all about the old days, but it is. When the saints of God wept under conviction, wept, and pride didn't keep them in their pew. Pride didn't keep them from trembling. The Holy Ghost was so strong. But we have become so worldly. We have become so dull. We have become so full of carnality in our own lives. I'm talking about some of the cream of the crop that we call the cream of the crop in the church today. It's far from the Holy Ghost really doing a work in our heart. We're in trouble. I want to insert this right here. You ready for this insert? I've heard even some people say in the political realm, the only thing that might straighten America out is a revolution. Some of you believe that too. You maybe not have said it. But some of us have seen, and some of us that are older have watched what's happening. And they're beginning to take and push and take and push and take and push. This liberal crowd has no concern for you whatsoever. They don't care for you one bit, my friend. They've got an agenda, and they'll shoot their own people when they get the agenda completed. They have no care for anybody but their agenda. And Satan is ahead of this thing. Oh, y'all listen very closely. And I'm saying, hey, I'm going to tell you what we'll get. Do you know what's going to take for some churches to get really straight with God? It's going to take a revolution for God's people to stand, hallelujah, for the things of God. Somebody says, well, hold it down now. Settle down. We don't want you here rallying us for a fight. I'm not. I don't have to. When the Holy Ghost sends in a revival, and He, the administrator, starts administrating, it ain't going to be a man that causes anything, friend. It's going to be God's people getting right with God and standing up. And I will say this to you right now. There's a lot of people preach on the eagle. I've never preached on the eagle. I like it. I've heard other preachers preach on the eagle. Did y'all know that eagle has something about him, though? Y'all have heard this. This is nothing new to probably everybody in this building. But did you know that an eagle can look straight into the sunshine? Did y'all know that an eagle flies, brother? Did you know when an eagle, he can fly, brother, preacher, you know this. He can fly right straight, dab straight up right into the sunshine. And it don't bother him one iota. Did you also know this? That there's birds like a buzzard that lays, they're sorry. They don't even hatch their own people, their own eggs. Their own people, their own eggs. They'll lay their eggs in an eagle's nest. Need to study this. And that eagle, she'll just lay on the eggs, set on the eggs, and hatch them out. But here's what that eagle will do to those little eaglets and those little old birds in that nest. When they get a little bit bigger, the sun will start coming up. And that eagle knows that other bird's been laying eggs in her nest. They just know this. And you know what that mama eagle will do? She'll take that little baby, eaglet or bird, whichever one it is, and she'll take its little head and hold it up toward that rising sun and make that little eaglet look right at that sunshine. And you know what that little baby eaglet will do? He'll look right at that sunshine. He won't blink, he won't move, he won't jerk, he'll look right at it. Then she'll get another one of those little critters. And she'll take it and she'll pick it up and set it to the edge and she'll put it looking toward the sun. If it's one of those little old adopted birds, whenever she looks and takes that little head and puts it to the sunshine, do you know what the first thing that bird will do? It'll go. You know why? Because it can't look at the sun. Brother, do you know what that mama eagle does, ma'am? You know what that mama eagle does? She picks that little baby up by the back of the neck and tosses it right out of the nest. Are y'all with me? Are y'all with me? I know you animal lovers, that just blew your whole night for you. I hate that. Are y'all with me? That's nature. That's God. Are you listening? But here's the point of the whole thing. Whenever, and the eagle's mentioned in the Bible, and it's all kind of typology. But the point is this. When the glory of God begins to shine, and heaven comes down, and real moves of the Holy Spirit begin to touch the people of God. Hey, when the sun starts shining, and the glory starts falling into church, the heathen birds can't look at it. They can't accept it. They can't get with it. But God's eagles can look right at it. Whenever the holy shouting gets on, the holy ones of God can get in it. When the Holy Ghost begins to move, the ones that love God and saved and know God, it doesn't scare them. It identifies with their spirit and raises them up to stand for God. That's what revival does. Stands up the people of God. It's not a preacher, and it's not a singer, it's not a program. It's a Holy Ghost of God that empowers the people of God and moves in their heart. But before that happens, there has to be this confession and repentance of sins. Let me finish reading. We have dealt very corruptly, verse 7 says, against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments, which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if you transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. Now listen to me. I don't know of many churches. There are some, and I'm not saying, I'm talking about a general rule. If you go to any church right now, independent, fundamental, in the crowd, the pews are destitute. Are y'all with me? The pews are destitute, and they're getting more destitute. And our crowd is scattered because we've sinned against God. And we could also go to the old verses over there about Joshua's sin in the camp. And we've heard these messages were dull to them. They're sin in the camp. Now we're judging. Yeah, if old John would get right, it'd get straight around here. If old Sally would get right, it'd get straight around here. That's how we do now in the church. We pass it around. But the Holy Ghost needs to work in our church to where there's no passing around. It's not my brother nor my sister, oh Lord, that stands in the need of prayer, but it's me that needs prayer. And it's not John or George or Harry or Sally or Sue. It's me, God. It's me, God. I'm just going to stand up right in the middle of the congregation and say, God, it's me. Oh, God, help me. That's when it starts getting down to business. When you forget about what they're doing, and you forget about what they're doing, and you start looking at what you're doing or haven't done, and that comes through the Holy Ghost conviction and working. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if you transgress, I'll scatter you abroad among the nations. Somebody said, boy, I wish these feel-good churches would close down. I wish they'd just, something would just close them up. I kind of disagree with you. Because these feel-good churches got started, and that's when a lot of our people started leaving our churches. So what they really did was what John said. They left us because they wasn't of us. They didn't like our Bible. They didn't like our hymns. They didn't like our shout. They didn't like the way we worshiped. So they started their own places out yonder. And I say, hey, hallelujah, keep building them. Keep building them, because you're keeping that crowd out of our church that we have to fight all the time. Well, hallelujah for that, amen. I'm glad this ain't on a tape or something. People think I've done gone liberal. Y'all know what I mean? But now listen at verse number 9 before I get to some point here. But if you turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out into the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather. Oh, I love this. I'll gather them from thence and will bring them into the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now these are thy servants and thy people. He's reminding God. God don't need reminding, but when you pray, don't you remind God of certain things? I do. I do. I sometimes say to God, God, don't forget I'm yours. This is your boy down here. This is your child. God, you know you saved me. I'm yours. Don't forget me, God. Hallelujah. Now these are thy servants whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants. There's other people praying who desire to fear thy name. I don't have time to get on that, but that's one thing we've lost totally. You know what I had a preacher tell me when I was 19 years old? God called me to preach when I was 19. Right when I got into the ministry, I was just a young preacher meeting in this man's backyard. We built a little house back there, five preacher boys. This man was 71 years old, took the King James Bible, started at Genesis, and started going through it with us preachers. What a treasure we had, and didn't even realize it to today of what I learned. You know what he told me one night, preacher, singer, you know what he told me? One night after everybody left, he said, "Tommy Jr., I want to tell you something." Because I always stuck around and gleaned a little bit. I like to glean. Y'all know what I mean? It's hard to glean when everybody else is yakking and yakking and yakking. But when the yakking stopped and everybody was gone, I kind of hung around a minute. I got something I want to talk to you about, preacher. This is what he told me. You listening to me? He said, "I won't live to see it because I'm in my 70s. He said, "But you're young and you're going to have to face it." He said, "But never forget this saying I'm giving you right now, and I've never forgotten it. I've preached it. I've said it." Here's what he said. When people lose respect for the house of God, they will soon lose respect for the God of that house. I have never forgotten that. And brother, through this day that we've been living in these 50 short years that I've been in the ministry, how that has been so true. That old man said, "I won't live to really see it, but you'll deal with it. Not just see it, you'll deal with it." There's coming a day when people will disrespect the house of God. And the house of God is God's holy meeting place. And God, he said, when people disrespect the house, they'll disrespect the God of that house. And brothers and sisters, fundamental Baptists, independent so-called Baptists, have fallen into this place. We've disrespected the place of God with our dress attire, with our words, with our music, with our singing, with everything, hey, that's worldly. And now we're forcing God to accept what we have brought into the house of God. You check it out. You don't have to believe me. But I promise you right now, friend, the one thing the enemy did every time they took over Jerusalem or captured Israel, one of the first things they did, boy, was they destroyed the temple of God. Because they hated the temple of God. Because it represented a holy, living Jehovah God. No wonder David said, "You come to me with this, that, and the other, but I'm coming to you in the name of the God of Israel." Jehovah is his name. That God that you've been mocking, that God that you've been making fun of, that God's going to bring you down. Whew. Daniel said, "Throw me in the den of lions." Oh, throw me in. And Daniel didn't even have to give the testimony. He lived such a good life. The king said, "Daniel, your God will deliver you." Boy, we have lost respect for God and our churches. Now, Nehemiah was given. He took it on. He volunteered. Now it's Nehemiah's turn to go into Jerusalem. I'm about finished for those of you that thinks I ought to be. You just listen real still for just a minute, though. There's something here that's important. Because, see, all this praying and all this confessing and all this stuff, it's just now getting really, really happen. Well, it's one thing to pray about things. It's one thing to get started. But it's another thing to carry it out. And Nehemiah's getting ready to carry out what he had started. And Nehemiah said, "Well, listen, I heard that place is in bad shape. The walls is falling down. Ezra's handling the temple." And I hear he's about got that thing built, getting the people in order spiritually. He said, I'm going to go down and build those walls so the enemy won't keep running in on Jerusalem and tearing it apart and killing all the people and stealing from them. And he says, here I go. Well, y'all know the story. I'm not going to get into all that right now because of my time. But listen to this. He had a task that he was getting ready to do. I want to tell you something, preacher. You got a task. I think you've been here, what, 3 years, 4 years? When Morningstar Baptist Church put their name in a vote and called you to be their pastor. Whether you liked it or not, whether you agree with it or not, you're here to do a work for God. You're not here to do a work on how they want it done. You're here to do a work on how you want it by the leadership of God. And we know wisdom comes with that. Always you got to have wisdom. But God, this is God's man here at this church to do a work for God. He didn't call one of you, did he? Did anybody get voted on in here? Has anybody else been voted on in this church? Was it two votes or one? Y'all can answer. One. Amen? You're lucky. When they called me to my church 4 years ago, they voted on me four times. And I'll tell you that story one day when y'all come back. It's a very interesting story. I've never had it happen to me in my life, but anyway. When you came here, they voted on you one time. Really? And they called you, and you're their pastor. Now, since you've been here, they probably didn't like how they voted. Some of them probably didn't like it. Some of them probably thought, well, if I could change my vote, I would. But yet they can't change their vote. But they can get an attitude, or they can get a bullheadedness, or they can get a stiff neck, or they can get a don't care what anybody says. I'll wait him out. He won't last long. Are y'all listening to what I'm telling you? Now, I'll tell you what Hebrews says. Hebrews says that you just opened up a big old box for you for nothing but in the world but a slap in the face by God. Because you don't hinder what he's been sent here to do. I know y'all didn't come here to hear that, but I just wanted to say that. I just want y'all to know that I'm for the preacher. If he's writing in the book and doing right and not immoral, I'm for him. Are y'all with me? Now, listen. He opened up a task here that he was going to have to stay with me for just a minute, and we're going to go home tonight. There's a few things I want you to hear about this task. It's going to be tough. Somebody said, why was it so tough? And I'm just going to pick out one little thing about why it's going to be so tough. It was going to be tough, period. First of all, he had to get permission to go. That was tough because he was a slave. But he did that. His life, you think Esther stood in a place. Listen to me. I'm for Esther. I love Esther. I love to talk and preach and sing and holler and scream about it. Esther. If I perish, I perish. Hallelujah for those that went down in history. You don't hear that much about old Nehemiah. But did you ever really think about it when you read the next few verses in this chapter? That when he went before that king, the king looked at him and said, why are you sad? I've never seen you sad. You know why he had never seen him sad, sir? Do you know why? Because if you went before the king with a sad face, they chopped your head off. You did not go before the king with a sad face. You went making him happy. Even if you didn't feel like it, you did it. But Nehemiah had such a burden, such a broken heart for his people, that he couldn't hide it. If he would have tried, he couldn't hide it. He couldn't make up a smile. He could not conjure up a grin. He couldn't conjure up a joy. He was broken. And the king said, why is your countenance sad? Have you ever thought about the fear that probably got on him, thinking, whew, I'm getting ready to be leveled right now? But God had mercy. And God had his hand. And this heathen king, just to cut the short story, gave him everything he wanted. Hallelujah. So the task was facing his life. But here's what happened. Here's what made the task so hard. And we'll read something now. Listen to me real quickly. Hananiah, one of my brethren, came in. He said, I asked them concerning the brethren in captivity. Here's what he said. He said, the remnant that's left there, they're in great affliction and they're in reproach. They're wore out, they're broken down, and they're discouraged. Now, I don't know about y'all, but listen to me right now. I'll tell you something. In this hour that we're living, that man of God, your man of God, every man of God spends 70 to 80% of their message preaching, praying, encouraging the people of God. Because we're living in a world out there that you can get encouraged here tonight, and you can walk out that door, and it don't take but about 2 hours of that world and all the stuff that's in it, family problems, job situations, kids, husbands, wives, dogs, cats, neighbors, everything. It don't take long to drain it every bit out of you. Are you with me right now? Hey, you might as well say amen. So next Sunday or next Wednesday or Sunday night, the man of God, whoever comes back, some of them don't even make it back. Some of them get beat to death at the dinner table. But God's man has to encourage. Now watch this, I'm getting done. Now listen, are you listening to me? One of Nehemiah's biggest situations in this whole thing about building this wall was getting the people that was there to help him. Have you ever noticed what it says about him? He went in there, it says him and his mule. I love that, him and his mule. Sounds like Festus, don't it? Him and his mule. He said, me and my mule surveyed the place. I rode the mule as far as I could ride it. Then I got off and walked through the shambles and the crumbles. Are y'all listening to what I'm telling you? Now I'm finishing now. Listen to me tonight, please. He said, I didn't tell anybody what God had sent me there to do. I didn't tell anybody. I didn't bring anybody with me. I went through there on my own. I wanted to see what I was looking and facing. And the Bible says that whenever he went through and surveyed for 3 days, the shambles and the brokenness and the trouble and the destruction that nobody had touched. They just lived amongst it. And then Nehemiah went back and gave the great, great, great rally speech to the people. And he said, let's rise and bail. Now, I want to tell you something now. In those scriptures, it says right after that, and the people answered him and said, let's arise and build. But you know what, David? You know what Nehemiah's biggest problem was? Are you listening to me now? Are you listening to me? Here was Nehemiah's largest, biggest obstacle in getting it done. He was going to have to use people, brother, that had done gotten used to living and used and accepted the now. Are y'all with me? Are y'all with me? Do you know why young preachers and pastors, do you know why they have a hard time in churches right now? And I'm going to say this in all honesty, and I love y'all, and I don't think y'all are going to do it to this man. But I will tell you this. Churches are killing preachers right now, and young preachers don't stand a halfway chance in some of these churches. They'll kill them, boy. They'll beat them to death. Some of these churches have got some hierarchy in them that's mean as hell itself, and they'll kill them, buddy. They'll kill them. They'll kill them. You listen to Dennis Carter, he'll tell you back young. Old Dennis Carter, skate. He'd skate them, boy. Are y'all with me right now? Now listen to me. Now listen. He's got a group of people that has already, for so many years, lived in the mess that they're in, to where they've just accepted that's the way it is. And when a young man or an older preacher, it doesn't matter, that's got a vision and a touch and a fire and a Holy Ghost anointing comes in, one thing he's going to do is say, hey, this is not the way God wants it. Amen. And brother, that's going to start stirring up things. That's right. And when Nehemiah started saying that, the enemy started poking their head up. Sanballat, Tobiah, Grisham, those enemies. Let me tell you something about Morningstar. You're just like any other church. You might have not have been drugged down so bad. I don't think you have been drugged down so bad to where it's just destructed. And you just lived in it for years. You had a good man of God here that kept things on the roll before this man came. But what I'm trying to get you to see is this. That man of God fought. He fought hard. Jimmy Robbins. People didn't like Jimmy Robbins. It don't matter if you like him or not. Like me or not. Like whoever or not. He had his way. But I'll tell you what he did. He had the people's attention.
Yeah.
Are y'all with me? Several years ago, I had a revival there with him. He scared me one night. I was a preaching man. I was right in the middle of preaching hard. And I said, looking at that congregation, there's always somebody out there, whether he wanted to admit it or not, and I love him. He's in heaven now. But here's the thing. I said to that congregation, I said, some of you letting your kids go to dance school. So I figured in a crowd like that, some kid went to dance school. Son, I didn't say that. It didn't leave my tongue 2 seconds. That he came out of that pew, boy, and he jumped up, and he said, bless God. Stop right there. Do you know anybody in this church that's got their kid in dance school? I said, nope, I don't know anybody here. He said, there ain't nobody here got their kid in dance school. He said, now keep preaching. I said, amen. Now that was Brother Robbins. Are you with me? You know what I like about some of these old men that used to preach and do and ran their churches and pastored them and dictated and ramrodded and jerked them around and slapped them and stomped on them? Hey, you know what I like about them? They're the most loving people of their people you ever seen that have died for them. They prayed for them all the time. That's why they had such a burden. That's why they look at them and say, I do this. Hey, good preachers and pastors, do this. Sometimes I'll look over and say, Henry, you need to be listening. Of all people in the church, you need to be listening. Are you with me? These men of God love their people. Paul said, rebuke some openly and others of fear. If you don't have any fear of this man of God, you'll run over him. Are you with me? Respect. If we don't fear God, ma'am, you'll run over God, brother. If you don't fear God, sir, you'll live like you want to live because you don't believe he will do a thing. You won't tithe. You'll sit right there on that pew and rob God, and not give your stinking money that he don't even need. But he give you that command that you would fear him, that if you didn't tithe, he'd zap you. Amen. 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 And we got churches full of people that don't believe in getting zapped. When you get to heaven, you ask Ananias. He said, it happened so fast, all I can say is, I got zapped. And when his wife marched in, she got zapped. The church got scared. We've lost that fear. Because we got a group of people in our churches tonight that have came to a place to where we feel like we just live like we are and it doesn't really matter. But I want to tell y'all something. Even though we don't realize it in our churches, people are getting sick, they're dying, people are having trouble, they're losing their homes, their cars, they're getting broken limbs, they're getting AIDS, they're getting cancer, they're getting heart attacks, they're having children going crazy, they're losing kids to death. Now listen to me, that don't all the time mean that God's whipping them and chasing them and all of that stuff. But I will tell you something. There's a lot of stuff going on in our churches that we overlook sometimes, and we just pray for the brother or the sister. When really, by the mercy of God, it's a small zap and not a big one. Are y'all with me? Now I'm getting ready to quit, and we're going to go home. I want you to listen to me really closely. I love the church, and I love God. And if there's anything I want, not for my glory, I'll just soon just get in the truck and drive on to the house, and it break out when I'm gone at your house, and it go all over the town. But I want you to understand something. I've told our church I've had a real burden for the last 6 months about just being obedient to the Holy Spirit. Amen. Just be obedient. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Not just any way, but holy, set apart. Holy, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Well, I'll tell y'all right now. Sounded to me like in the first verses that I read tonight. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn, humble the heart and turn from their what? Then will I hear from heaven. We quote these verses. But God wants to do something in our heart. So this is my request to you tonight. This is all I'm going to ask you right now. It's this right here. I would ask you tonight, in your heart, to say to God, I want to lay myself down for you tonight to do anything you please to do with. You saved me. You bought me. And Corinthians says in the 6th chapter, I'm yours. And you live in me. Amen. So Lord, I'm not going to ask you to let me be this or that. I'm not even going to say, I want to do this. I ain't saying a word. All I'm going to do, God, is just lay my heart down in prayer. And I'm going to say to you, ma'am, this is what I want you to do. God, it's not my request. It's not anything of me. I don't want to run the show. I don't care. All I want you to know is I'm giving you me tonight to do with as you please. There's a lot of trust in that. But I promise you, I believe so strongly in this thing being saved, heaven, hell, God, Holy Ghost, Jesus, the coming tribulation, and anything you want to thought, I believe it's so strong. That I believe that great administrator that came from heaven will deal with your heart. I believe that. Because he deals with mine. As we stand. If whatever preacher you want sung or whatever, it doesn't matter, you do it. I want our people to stand right now. I want that prayer to be on your heart tonight. I would ask you tonight to let that prayer be in your heart. Not pray anything. Don't go everywhere. I don't want your traditional praying tonight. I want you to do something that maybe you've never done. And that's say to God, here am I, O Lord. Have thine own way. I want you to have that prayer in your heart tonight. And we're going to leave it up to God to deal with it. I'm an old-time believer in altars. I really do believe in that. Our churches has got used to standing in the pew and praying. I'm an old-time believer that coming forward and praying is a way that God crucifies our flesh pride. Well, I can pray right here as good as I can anywhere. Well, yes, you probably can. But wouldn't it be good if you just shared your burden by coming and praying? You say, you just want people to come. I do. I really do. I really do. I don't have a newspaper or a radio station or an outlet to where I can tell everybody the whole church came. I'm not going to do that. I just want you to learn tonight. I want you to learn something tonight. I want you to learn tonight that all God's people have to humble themselves. Humble themselves and pray. While she plays, all heads are bowed.